on the website. I want you to know we are looking forward to you coming back and being with us. Just a few more people, and I hope you feel very comfortable here very soon being back with us. There's a concept built into our universe by God. There's a concept built into our universe by God. He did it. He started it. He created it. And that is, and really, it is kind of the end point of all of God's systems. God made natural laws, and he made physical laws, he made spiritual laws. But the end point of all of these things, all the systems that God created, all come together in one place. And it's really a word, it's a very simple word. And the word is simply this, it's called balance. It's called balance. Now, there's a lot of different terms people might use. You know, accountants might, would probably use that word. You know, scientists might use a word like equilibrium or homeostasis or something like that. But basically what it means, this is the end point. All the systems that God created, all the laws that God created, they all tend toward balance because God loves balance. I'm going to talk about this quite lengthy here as an introduction. You know, in other words, if everything was done God's way, if the whole world operated the way God said to operate, we would live in a very balanced world. Our physical world would be in perfect balance. Our personal lives would be in perfect balance. Our emotions would be in perfect balance if the world did everything the way that God said. Let me just kind of give you some examples. For example, in our universe, the laws of gravitation. The laws of gravitation, you know, because we can't really have any influence on most of the things off this earth, you know, the galaxies spin in a fairly uniform mate. Now, there's going to be some chaos within that, especially during formations of things. But basically, the galaxies are spinning and they're moving away from each other in a very uniform way. The universe is in balance because God set it up that way. If we look at within each galaxy, a solar system, every solar system has at least one star, sometimes two, but around that you find planets that are revolving in perfect balance. Again, there's chaos sometimes in the formation of those things, just like in our lives, but ultimately, without something interfering with it, that all comes into perfect balance. Here on this earth, we look at all of Earth's systems. Our water cycle, for example, we have oceans that evaporate water into the air. It moves in, land falls as rain. We have rivers and streams that take it back to the ocean. God has a balance. Are you with me? This is the way God set up the whole world. You know, in the seasons, we have seasons that are imperfect, but we need spring and summer and winter and fall, although it does seem like spring is harder to find the last couple of years. Have you noticed that? It seems like Mother Nature is off her meds. And but generally speaking, it's in balance. We have these seasons, and we need those seasons. And look, and it's a good thing that God put all things in balance because, you know, plants need a consistent cycle of seasons in order to grow, yes? There are things that can grow here that we can't grow down south. There are things that grow in the south, can't grow here, because that's just how it works. But it needs to stay in balance. Again, if it's left alone, if it's done God's way, it's in balance. And, you know, even our moon, I don't know how many of you realize this, you always see the same face of the moon. Do you know why? Because it's in something called a geosynchronous orbit. In other words, the moon is rotating at the exact rate that it's revolving. And so isn't that an amazing thing? You'll never see any other part of the moon unless, you know, you can get on the Falcon shuttle and kind of get with Elon Musk. But you're never going to see it because it's in perfect geosynchronous orbit. It always rotates. We see the same face all the time as it revolves around the Earth. And that shows that God is a God of balance. Now, in the garden, God also gave man a balance. God said, look, I want you to live a balanced life. God said, let me make this real simple for you. And by the way, this is still applicable today. Here's God's balance for our lives. He said, he's talking to Adam and Eve. He said, I want you to work. I want you to work. Now, did the garden produce on its own? Sure it did. But he said, I want you to dress and keep the garden. That means I want you to work. He said, I want you to take care of it. So he said, I want you to work, it will produce fruit, I want you to enjoy that fruit, and then I want you to sleep, and then I want you to go back to work. You follow me? And God says that is a perfect balance. He said, I want you to follow, if you follow those things, you work, it produces fruit, you enjoy, and then you go back to work. He said that is balance. Men, and God says there's a balance in society. When you have a man, you have a woman, they have children, and you repeat that in the next generation. That's called balance. Amen. Now, where am I headed? I know some of you are trying to figure this out, you know, where I'm headed with this, but here's the point then, and as we look at our world, when something happens to change that, when something happens to change a balance of something, countermeasures are supposed to do what? Countermeasures are supposed to bring something back into balance. So you know, when you're driving down the road in your car, and you get a little bit off to the side, what are you supposed to do? Countermeasures, you use a steering wheel for countermeasures to bring back into balance, to get back into the lane. But you know, people have a tendency, and mankind has a tendency to not bring things back into balance, but what? Yeah, that's right, Sue. To overreact, to overcompensate. You know, society is supposed to watch that. You know, we talked about society. Society's balance is we work, it bears fruit, we enjoy, and we go back to work. Sometimes something like that happens. Sometimes somebody might become disabled. So what happens? When somebody becomes disabled, that disrupts the balance. That person can no longer provide for himself or herself or his family. So what happens? That's where the society is supposed to step up and bring that back into balance. You follow me? Now, sometimes people just choose not to work. And so on. I'll get into that here in just a little bit. I'm going to be very, very direct here. But, you know, for somebody that, but we bring that back into balance because people voluntarily step up and say, listen, this person cannot work now. This person's been injured trying to work, and now we need to make up for that. It's always been that way. But somebody who refuses to work, there is also a balance for that, yes? Yeah, it's called you starve. Look, I'm talking about this is how it was. This is how God set it up, yes? God set it up to where if you want to work, then you know, you work and you enjoy the fruit of that. If you cannot work, the society needs to step up and help with that, but bring it back into balance. And the balance for somebody not working is simply that person just simply starves, and eventually they either go back to work or they die. But either way, we're back into balance. Now, some of you are looking at me like, man, this is kind of cold and harsh, and I brought guests with me today. Look, I'm just telling you, this is how God set the world up. This is how God set things up. You know, overreactions do not restore balance. Overreactions do not restore balance. Overreactions simply create a new imbalance. You follow me? If we're out of balance in some area of our personal lives or as a society or as a world, an overreaction does not bring things back into balance. It creates a new imbalance. And that is what we're seeing so much of in our world and in our lives. You know, this is what happens. So, again, and I don't like to do a lot of political stuff here, and I don't want to do that, but here's what happens. So, somebody writes a bad check for some groceries. To bring that into balance, police are supposed to arrest that person, right? We have a justice system that's supposed to bring that into balance. But what happens when somebody's too aggressive and takes that too far and kills that person instead of just arresting that person? Now we have another imbalance. And are we not paying for that in our society right now? Yes. What a terrible thing. So what's happened now? So what happened was what should have been brought into balance instead, because of the overreaction of police in this case. And again, don't. By the way, you understand that very few police officers are racist, right? Very few white police officers are racist, and very few black men are criminals. Okay, so be careful about that. But that's what we have in this case that's going on, and it even spilled over into Columbus this week. But what's happening is there's an overreaction by the police that caused an imbalance. Then what was the next step? What is mankind's nature then? When there's an imbalance this direction, what do we do? Do we bring it back into balance? No. Protests and violence and looting, that just creates another imbalance. And this is our world. And unfortunately, this is also a lot of individuals' worlds. And God said, I like balance. I like balance. You know, we see it in our political parties, right? Right now, and again, I'll get to some scripture here in just a minute. Just bear with me. We've got to get this concept in our heads. Is this not what our political system has become? It's red, it's blue. You know, it's conservative, it's liberal. It's, you know, and whatever party's in power, the next party is seeking to regain power because why? Because they want to bring everything into balance? Of course not. Of course not. It's not about that. We are, as Americans, we say that our system was set up with a system of checks and what? But that's not what happens, is it? It's supposed to be that way. Supreme Court is supposed to check the other two and but not take the lead. When the Supreme Court takes the lead, what happens? It's created an imbalance. And so forth. You get the idea. You see where I'm going. I don't want to belabor that. You know, the discrimination laws oftentimes are meant to bring balance. You know, anti-discrimination meant to bring balance, but oftentimes what we end up with is reverse discrimination laws, which create another imbalance and so forth. And it just goes on and on. Our health leaders right now are having to reluctantly admit that a lot of the things, a lot of the reaction, the overreaction to the COVID virus is now going to cause so much more harm to human life than the virus ever did. And so it's just, you know, again, it's this overreaction. And again, whatever your opinions are about that, it's fine. But I don't think any of us can deny this is our world, yes? It's ingrained in us. How many of you were a child once? Can you remember that? John's sitting on his hand. Yeah, I don't think John was born 70 years old. And look, you were a kid once on the playground, yes? And then somebody walked up and hit you. What did you do? Did you just hit them back with the exact same? Of course not. You hit them harder than they hit you, right? Well, that's what you're supposed to do. Yeah.
That's what you do if you're a man.
No. That's what I know. No, we don't believe in that in our home. Yeah. I'm looking at your kids right now, right out there. They're in a fist fight right out here. Look. But see, we did that. Playground, somebody calls you a name. You know, they do you ever time out. Do you ever remember if you're like my age or older, do you ever, well, I guess any age, but do you remember looking back, are you embarrassed by the things you used to call each other? You know the worst thing we used to call each other when I was in elementary school? We'd call each other a woman. I don't know. It was just like, I know. And now you should hear what Chloe says. Her Chloe, not your Chloe. We have guests that have a Chloe also. Look, but what do? You know, you call each other and the kids call names, and what do? They just keep upping it, right? It's that whole, I dare you, I double dare you, I triple dog dare you, stick your tongue on the pole, that whole thing. That's what we do. It's ingrained in us. You know, that's just how we are kind of wired, and we're just sort of that way. And then sadly, kids grow up, and the new playground becomes Twitter. You know, the new playground becomes Facebook. You know, and somebody posts something, and somebody doesn't like it. So this other person has to one up them and make it worse. And, you know, well, here's why you're wrong, but you're not just wrong, you're stupid. You know, that kind of thing. And it's just back and forth and all this social media. And we're not trying to restore balance in most areas of our lives. And so here's my message. And I believe what, you see, I think that our society is one that has begun to glamorize those that take an extreme position. Our society has chosen to glamorize those that take an extreme political position, those that take an extreme position on sexuality issues and all those kind of things, and it's almost like our society just feeds up. It's almost like we want to take the exception and make them the example. Do you follow me with that? And say, look, it's, you know, this is the right way, and so you end up, we end up with this terrible imbalance politically, societally, and even within ourselves. We see the glaring examples in politics and so forth. We've polarized our society that way. You know, we take the race issues and we try to bring balance. We end up creating even more of a problem. So here's the message. Here's the message today. And let me get into some scripture here. God wants us to have the balance in our lives that He intended for us to have. My message for you as a child of God is God wants you to have balance in your life. He said, I want you to enjoy the balance that I planned for you in your life. You know, it's bad for our physical world, our emotional world, and our spiritual world. So let me show you some scripture and let's get into that. So Philippians 4 or 5, here's how the Apostle Paul, as it was given to him, he's giving it to us. And it's very simple advice, but it's incredible advice. He said this, he said, let your moderation be known unto all men. He said, everybody should see your moderation. Now, what does that word moderation mean? That word moderation, it means to be gentle. It means, he said, look, let your gentleness be known to all men. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1 says that angry words stir up strife. I'm sorry. A soft answer turns away wrath, but angry words stir up strife. A soft answer. You know, and so Paul is saying, listen, your moderation, your gentleness should be known to all men. Soft words will tone down. Soft words will bring something back into balance. Yes, when there's an argument going on, he said soft words will bring it back into balance. But what do angry words do? They just create a new imbalance. He said it's very simple advice, but it's very important advice. He said the word moderation it means gentle, it means patient, it means equitable and fair. You know, and now notice, God is not saying that we have to, he's not talking about our beliefs here. He's not saying your beliefs ought to be middle of the road. This is, in fact, God told us in the end of the book, he said, look, I want you to be hot or I want you to be cold. I want you to choose me or choose the world. I want you to do right or I want you to do wrong. And there is a right and there is a wrong. But he's talking about how we treat each other. He's talking about how we treat other people in our world. He said, your gentleness should be known unto all men. Harsh words do nothing but create a new imbalance. And then the second thing, notice that he said there, is that the Lord is at hand. Now, I want to take a minute and talk about this. He said, why should people know? Why should they see Tom's gentleness? Why should they see Tim being gentle, even if there's people around him who disagree? He said, because the Lord is at hand. There's kind of two ways we could look at that. One is we could say, because the Lord is at hand. That means Jesus is coming back soon. And I do think that Jesus is going to come back soon because, frankly, this world can only take so much more of us. We're going to destroy this world and we're going to destroy society if we keep going the way we are, and it's not that far away. So Jesus kind of has to come back because the book says he's going to end it, not us. Amen. So if that's the case, I think Jesus is going to come back. He's going to take the church. And so what Paul is saying here is, look, there's a reason why you should be gentle and kind and why you should treat each other properly, even when you disagree. Why should your moderation be known unto all men? I'll tell you why, because Jesus is going to come back and you're going to give account. He said, you're going to give an account for every idle word. He said, when Jesus comes back and takes the church up, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he said. And we're going to give account for things done in this body, he said. So be moderate. Be careful about what you do in this body and what you say to other people. He said, you've got to let your moderation be known unto all men. And the side benefit of that is, if we'll do that, we'll bring balance. Do you know what the Bible, we know what the spiritual concept of balance really is? It's the word peace. It's the word peace. You know, if we could balance out the relationships in our home, if we kept the right balance at home between a husband and a wife, or between a boyfriend and a girlfriend, the, you know, mom and dad and the kids, if we had all that in balance, you know what we would have in our homes? Peace. We'd have peace. You know, in a workplace. You know, I was going to use a school example, but there is no such thing as school anymore. So we're all going to be going back, remember when we had school? But God said, look, the Lord is at hand. So know this. If Jesus comes back, you're going to give account for everything you said. So I would be moderate if I were you. Let your moderation be known to all men. The second way to look at that, though, is that the Lord is at hand. He's right here. He's within arm's reach of me. Do you realize it says the Lord is with us everywhere? Jesus said, Last thing he said before he ascended back to heaven. What did he say? Somebody tell me. He said, and lo, I will be with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. Now, we know that when he says I, he's talking about God, the Trinity. There's the person of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. If we're a believer, he's literally with us everywhere we go, right? Amen. And he says, so be moderate. Let your moderation be known. Again, not your beliefs. Look, we ought to have strong beliefs, by the way. Amen. I have very strong religious beliefs. I have very strong political beliefs. I have very strong, but But he's talking about our treatment of one another and treatment of other people, how we deal with the people around us. And he said, let your moderation, that brings balance into the world. And so, you know, keep in mind that Jesus is right there beside us. And he said that's, so two very good reasons for that is he's nearby. And by the way, you see, when Jesus is right here by us, and it's kind of almost like a warning also, and I'll tell you why, because Jesus is well capable of taking care of any injustice done to you. In fact, let's look at the next verse. Look at verse 6. He said, be careful, which means anxious or fearful. He said, look, don't worry about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He said, look, if something bothers you, tell Jesus it bothers you. Amen. Let him deal with it. He's well capable of dealing with it. He said, you take it to him. You thank him for things in your life. He said, but then let your request be made known unto God. God is well capable of taking care of any injustice done to you. You don't have to watch. Here's this. You don't have to try to balance the scales, because you and I are not going to do that. We're just going to create a new imbalance. But God says, I know how to balance things out because I love a balance. God loves a balance. Proverbs tells us that. We'll probably see that here in a minute. But God loves a balance, and God knows how to bring things into balance and not overbalance. And he said, let me deal with that. He said, I am well capable of taking care of any injustice done to you. But you know there's another side to that? He also said, I'm also well capable of dealing with any injustice that you do to someone else. Look, I don't know about you. I don't want God to have to come along and fix the injustices that I do to other people. Because there's a way he can do that. He can take from me or do something to me in order to make it right. You know, and vice versa, you get that. We don't want to be in a position where God has to come in. And when God wants to be coming in and being on our side and taking care of us and fixing any injustice done to us, and by the way, he'll do that so much better than we will. He'll do it so much better than we will. But he will also make up for the things that we do to others, because God loves balance. I don't want to be on the wrong end of that, folks. Do you? I would rather be on the right end. So God hates, in fact, look at verse number 7. Here's what he said. So he said, look, I want you to trust God. He said, let God deal with these things, because then the peace of God, if you let God bring balance, if I let God bring balance to the situations in life instead of me trying to do it myself, instead of creating a new imbalance, a new injustice that God now has to fix, God has to punish me, or God has to fix me, or God has to make it up to somebody for something that I did, he said, look, you just trust me, and then you can let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, can I ask you, which is a better way to live? Isn't that a better way to live? Amen. Don't you long for peace in your life? Man, I long for peace in our world. I long for peace in our country. I don't want to compromise values to get it, but I'd sure like to have peace. You know how we can have peace? If we would just simply do it God's way, which is to be civil with each other. And to listen to what's really going on. I think that, you know, most of us feel like if we could just get the other side to listen to us, right? Parents, if you could just get those teenagers to listen to you, I mean, if they would just listen, they would see how wise you are. And you teenagers, if you could just, you know, Haley, if you could just get your mom to listen to you, she could learn so much from you, can't she? She's like, don't get me in trouble. Move along, Pastor. We just want people to listen to us. And so the peace of God, this is what we're really after. You see, because God hates imbalance. We won't turn there, but Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, you know, God says that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. You know what a false balance was back in those days? Back in those days, that's where people went to the market, you know, and a farmer would carry in a bag of grain, and then you had this tradesman there, the guy that would receive that, and he had two sets of weights. He had one set of weight that he would use when somebody was bringing something in, and those weights were heavy. So if it was supposed to be a pound, it was more than a pound, so that guy had to give him more grain than he was supposed to. You follow me? That's an unjust weight. Then he had a different weight that he would pull out if he was selling it, which was too light. And so that way he was ripping people off. And that's what God says, I hate that. God says, I hate that. That is an abomination to me when you take advantage of somebody. I am still angry to this day about something that happened to Laura a month ago. She's probably way past it because, well, she's Laura. But she's totally forgiven the people. I haven't forgiven them. But she had a piece of soffit blow off her house. It's just an 8-foot piece of soffit. I mean, it was nothing. And a guy came out and saw this widow here with this, you know, who couldn't get up on a roof herself and fix that. He wanted to charge her $500 for something that would take 5 minutes to fix. See, you're all mad now too, right? You're welcome. God hates that. God hates that. Well, we did. We got it taken care of. You know? And, you know, but it's that kind of thing. And see, God hates that. And watch, but that's no different. Well, listen, don't get mad at me. Well, get mad at me, but don't leave. Don't throw anything. But that's no different than somebody sitting at home bleeding our system today, making the rest of us pay for it. I mean, that's no different than an able-bodied person who can perfectly capable of working sitting at home and making everybody else, you know, pay instead. Well, that went over big. Yeah, wow. Look, right? Remember what God said, you'll be happy in balance? He said, work, enjoy the fruit, sleep, go back to sleep some more. You've earned that, Harold. You can sleep all you want to. You worked your whole life, and you know, you're 130, it's fine for you to sleep all day long. Ain't nobody gonna fault you, buddy. Yeah, I mean, this is what God. Look, and again, I'm not trying to be unkind about that, but see, what we do is instead we overreact. You know, this overreaction is destroying our economic system in our country and so forth. You know, in fact, let me just talk about that. Well, here's the thing. You know, I talked about, you know, our health, for example. Isn't our health supposed to be about balance? We're supposed to take in a certain amount of calories, and we're supposed to work off a certain amount of calories, right? Now, look, I can talk about this. Some of you can't. Joe, you keep your mouth shut. You hear me? You skinny people, you just sit there and be quiet. That's right. But that's how it's supposed to work, right? That's how it's supposed to work. Here's the system going on in our world right now. So I was actually doing so much better. I was going to the Y before all this chaos hit. I was going and I was swimming and all that. So the Y up in Marion, the leaders up there, in their infinite wisdom, they're opening partially. So what they're going to open partially for the safety from this, you know, this virus, you know, that everybody's so obsessed with, what they're going to open is all the exercise equipment that everybody uses one after another and sweats all over. Guess what they're not going to open? The pool. The chlorine-filled swimming pool with lanes that you can't get within 6 feet of anybody if you wanted to. Yeah, that's what they're not going to open. That's what I was using. And so I don't even know why I started talking about that. I'm just venting today, I guess. Well, if I can't vent here, where am I supposed to vent, Josh? No, my point is, you know, so something happens to interrupt our, you know, but in our bodies, you know, we're supposed to keep in balance. And if we would do a good job with that, you know, we would be so much healthier, wouldn't we? You know, and we get that. We have to make adjustments, you know, and so forth. Our nation. Let me give you some quick. Again, I'm not trying to be political this morning, but I'm trying to show you how important balance is. Take a look at our. Let me show you something about our country. Do you know our country right now? United States of America, the greatest nation on the face of the earth, is the most indebted nation on the face of the earth. We owe $25 trillion. Now, I put that up there, and we're all like, "Yeah, I've heard that." What's a trillion? That's like talking about a light year. That's like trying to talk about how far away, you know, the next star system is in miles. None of us have any clue what that is. So let me break that down for you. 25 trillion comes out to on a per citizen basis $77,000. Here's Hunter down here. He was just born a month ago. He was born $27,000 in debt before he ever. Wake him up, tell him to get a job. He better get started now. You think he's ever going to be able to, is he ever going to be able to pay for that? But see, that's per citizen. How about per taxpayer? Look at this. If you're actually a taxpayer, we're each in debt $207,000. John, how in the world are you ever going to pay that off before you die? It's not going to happen, is it? It's not going to happen before I die. Look, do you see what I mean? We are so out of balance. Why? Because we have spent so much more than we take in. You know, we can't even pay the interest on that loan. We don't have enough income as a country to pay the interest on that because we're so out of balance, and something needs to be done about that. You know, and individuals, you know, and in individual, you know, as individuals in this country, and again, I'm going to put this up there and then I'm going to close the message. I'm just trying to show how important it is to have balance in our lives. As individuals, we're never going to be able to pay this because the average person in America has an unsecured debt. And by unsecured, I mean it's not for a mortgage of this much, $42,000. Yeah, the average household. The average household owes $42,000. Now, how is a household that out of balance ever going to bring a nation back into balance financially? And that's only getting worse every single day. Now, you and I can't fix that. But how about our lives? How about our time? Do you know what God's plan for our time is? God has a balanced plan for our time. He said, you know, let me give you something. He said, first of all, and again, some of you are going to get mad at me because I keep hitting this. He said, I want you to work. He said, I want you to work. Look at some scripture here. Let's take a look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. For even when we were with you, this is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica, even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. So I alluded to this. Yeah, I know. Right? Now we're not talking about disabled people. We're not talking about 130-year-old people. But we are talking about healthy people. People capable of going back to the jobs they had before this virus, but it's too tempting to stay home because you're making more sitting at home than you made at your job. Please take this the right way. You don't have the right to ask me to subsidize your income. You don't have that right. You don't have the right to ask society to take care of you that way. Because we're so out of balance already. And look, again, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm really not. I'm just telling you the truth. Am I telling the truth or not? There's an incentive to stay home. But God said that's not balanced. That's not going to bring your personal life into balance. By the way, that's bad for you, and you're going to regret. If you're truly a child of God, you can't be comfortable with that. You just can't. I'm looking around at some of you. When all this thing started and you lost your income and you started driving Uber. You know, I just got my hair cut. Did you notice that? Wow. I feel so much lighter. I got my hair cut with my barber during this time. He went and stocked groceries at a grocery store because the people who were offered the job, who had the job at the grocery store, didn't want to work. So to continue to make money, he went in and started stocking groceries. And some of you did that. Now, my point is, this is what God said. So God said, here's your life in balance. I want you to work. I want you to sleep. How about Psalm 127? He said, you want to sleep well? Then, you know, get yourself tired by working. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, video gamers. I'm just kidding. Look, you do you. You do whatever you need to do. But, you know, but that's not what life should all be about. It's fine for, you know, some time. But he said, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows. For so he gives his beloved what? Sleep. He said, I want you to work. I want you to sleep. I want you to have family time. We won't get it. There's tons of scripture on that. He said, this is God's plan for balance in our lives. Yes? Work. Eat. Work and sleep and have family time and go to church. Amen. And go to church. Look, is this a perfect... By the way, church is people. It's not a building. Remember that. Amen. Church is people. But he said, you need to be together. You say, well, I just don't think God commands us that. Well, yeah, well, take it up with the writer of the book of Hebrews. Because he said, not forsaking or neglecting the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, for those of you that are sitting at home and listening, please understand, I love you so very, very much. But as your pastor, if I'm still your pastor, you need to come back to church. You need to come back to church. You need to get back to serving God with your life. You need to get back to being involved in the ministry of serving people. Jesus gave us two commands. Love God, love your neighbor. And he said, the way you love your neighbor is to serve your neighbor. There's a world that is so much worse off than you because they don't have Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm telling you with all the love that I have in my heart, and I'm not judging you, I'm not trying to judge you, but you need to get back to church. It's time. It's time to start trusting God again. And get back to serving God the way that we're supposed to. It's so easy to look, if it wasn't a problem 2,000 years ago, why did the writer of Hebrews say it? He said it was a problem back then. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. In fact, watch this. This was 2,000 years ago. All right, follow me here. He said, but encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What he's saying is the closer we get to the end times, you should be together more, not less. You should be talking about Jesus more, not less. You should be reading your Bible more, not less. But you should be just simply living and being the church more, not less. Not less. Now look, it doesn't mean, and by the way, being the church doesn't mean just necessarily just gathering on a Sunday morning. Just like we're not Christians because we're here today, right? You're not a Christian because you came today. You were either a Christian before you came, or hopefully you'll leave as one. But it doesn't have you sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian, as I say many times, any more than sitting in a bakery makes you a donut. Okay. But we gather. God's plan for balance in our lives is including church. And you young parents, I cannot commend you enough. Do you know how hard it is for young parents to pack their kids up on a Sunday morning these days with so many other options out there, so many other things? There's some parents in this room that they say, it is so important that my kids learn to love Jesus, we will do whatever it takes to get them to church. Amen. Good for you.
Amen.
Good for you. You have my admiration, because I can't imagine how hard it is. You know, when my kids were little, They actually grew up in a world where they didn't have a choice. They did whatever mom and dad said. You know, they didn't have all these people telling them they don't have to do those things. I am so much in admiration of you moms and dads that are making that a priority. So God said, I want you to work. I want you to sleep. I want you to have family time. But I think we can do both. We can do it all, can't we? I think we can do it all. And then he said, lastly, he said, and then I want you to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, I don't mean Sabbath worshiping, but I mean God said you should take a day and rest your body. You should take a day and rest your body. You should take a day and rest your mind. You know, seriously, rest your mind before you lose it. Of all the things I've lost, it's my mind and my knees, I think, that are right up there to tie for one. But you should rest your body. It's called balance. Now, I'm done. The only area in the universe, I'll close with this, the only area in the universe where God said there's an imbalance and he wants it that way. Please get this. There's only one area in the whole world that God wants an imbalance. And that is the relationship between sin and grace. He said where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. He said, there's one thing that I want to stay out of balance. He said, and that is, I have so much more grace than you could ever have sin. I have so much more grace to offer you than you could sin if you wanted to. Now, we shouldn't want to, but he said, no matter how much sin you walked in here with, please give me, and I'm done. I mean it. No matter how much sin you walked in here with this morning, whether you're a child of God or you're unsaved, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, it's this simple. He said, I have already provided more grace than you need to be saved. I have already provided more grace than your sins total could ever weigh. You say, oh, Pastor, but you just don't know what I don't need to know what you've done. It doesn't matter. I'm just a man just like you. I'm just a person just like you. God already is aware of whatever sin debt you have, and he's already provided more grace than is needed. You can ask Jesus to be your Savior today, trusting that he has already provided more than sufficient grace to cover your sins. I hope you'll do that here in just a moment if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you're a child of God, that same thing applies to us, though. You know, we haven't all been right. We didn't all live right this week, right? Anybody live wrong this week? Anybody make... Some of you, you're like, okay, if I don't raise my hand, I look proud. If I do raise my hand, I look like a sinner. Yeah, I know. I'm good at that. You're welcome. Look, we've all messed up this week, right? God says, I have grace to cover that. Why don't you try to do better this next week?